Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance, everyone. And today we're going to hear the amendments to the governor's budget. As you know, there is a constitutional requirement to have those to the legislature by
30 days.
Yeah, and you delivered those, and now we're hearing them. Karen Rayfield will be presenting. And Karen, I have to warn you that the last time this building, or that this office was, excuse me, this committee room was used, we had a movie. And it was a good movie. The National Guard put one on. It had big sound, and it was epic. Okay. So, with that in mind, would you come up?
Budget amendments, the movie. Mr. Chairman, I'll work on that.
I cried.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Karen Rayfield with the Office of Management and Budget. I do have some amendments for your consideration to both the FY13 supplemental bill, SB 42, along with changes to the operating budget, Senate Bill 819, and the capital budget, Senate Bill 18. So you should have before you a packet that includes a revised fiscal summary. There are three times a year that we prepare an update to the fiscal summary, one in December when we propose the budget with the formal amendments in February, and then once again on the enacted budget. So I'll highlight some of those changes. You also have a summary of the supplemental amendments on one page, and then a spreadsheet. And then we'll have a fiscal year 2014 summary, and then two spreadsheets, one for operating and capital. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd like to start with the fiscal summary.
What does that look like? Which one?
You have a bigger version of this document, which you could actually read. So I'm somewhat visually impaired on this, but we'll try to hit just some of the highlights of the changes, because what we've done, Mr. Chairman, is the comparison point for the governor's budget FY14 is compared to FY13. We've updated some numbers on the current year fiscal summary, and I'd just like to flag what we've changed for you so you can recognize the differences between this fiscal summary and the December version. So the first item is on line 3, which is a revenue adjustment of $48.9 million. Oh, thank you. $48.9 million, and that is in regards to the Carlson case. You may be aware that we had an issue with the differentials between what we charged for in-state and a non-resident fishermen for commercial fisheries entry licenses. The result is we had appropriated over $82 million as a settlement. The state appealed that decision, and in December we were awarded back this almost $49 million. So that comes in December. That will reduce the amount of the draw that we need to make at the end of this fiscal year. We expect that it will be included in the Department of Revenue spring forecast, but we wanted to highlight that for you now. Also, on the fiscal summary, you'll see that we've tried to highlight for you the differences so that, for example, on line 10 under agency operations, you'll see the numbers that were specifically on the December fiscal summary for the operating budget. On line 11, we show you the supplemental requests of January 28th. And then on line 12, we're showing the February 12th amendments. So this way you can track changes. It does, unfortunately, some add more numbers to this one-page summary, but I think it just helps kind of keep track of changes that we're recommending along the way. Down on line 37, I just wanted to highlight for you that now we have, since we do have a supplemental bill before you, on the December budget we had a $40 million placeholder for fiscal year 13. We've removed that placeholder and instead built in the actual supplemental requests. So that again changes the bottom line in terms of the amount of the draw, because we had a very small supplemental. Fiscal year 2014, we have adjusted the $40 million placeholder to 20. I think we are all working very hard to slow the growth of government, to have our departments actually manage their budgets with the funding that we are going to be appropriating. So we're, in order to kind of keep that pressure on all of us, we think that it's reasonable to reduce this placeholder and as a management tool. And then finally, down on line 68, you will see that there's a change in the estimate of the draw that would be required in fiscal year 2013. On the December fiscal summary, we had a $410 million draw, and it's now reduced to $322.9 million based on those two major changes that I flagged for you. And then on the fiscal year 2014 side of the fiscal summary, just to highlight a couple of things, with the amendments that we put forward, we're actually reducing the amount of the governor's spending plan by about $19 million. But what you will see up on line 7 for the total operating change, where we had in December a 0.8% increase in total operating, it's showing 1.2%. And so even though our number is lower, the comparison point has changed. So our starting comparison point. So that hopefully helps to explain why that number looks different. But the net is that we are...
It doesn't. I didn't quite catch what you were saying there.
Mr. Chairman, in the comparison point on the December fiscal summary, and I don't have one in your packet, but you can look at that, the FY13 number was higher. So the difference when you compare to our proposal for 14 had a lower percentage change. So now it's reduced. So that changes the calculation. Yeah, sorry.
One's higher, and so the next,
Yes, thank you. I kind of looked at that and went, what's going on there? So anyway, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to flag that for you before we get into the spreadsheets, and I'll try to move through the spreadsheets pretty quickly, but those are the major changes on the fiscal summary. So before the committee, you should have a one-page summary of the supplemental Senate Bill 42. It looks like this. And then attached to it should be, or not attached, but with it should be a three-page spreadsheet of supplemental amendments. On the summary, I just wanted to say that the top part of the document shows you the supplemental bill as it totaled when we presented it to you the 28th of January. So Senate Bill 42 in its original version totaled $24,456,000. The amendments that we're proposing today are $2,365,100. So the total supplemental bill is $26,821.1 with these amendments. So this just is a quick snapshot of what's in the amendments, and we'll walk through this spreadsheet. And of course, I'm happy to answer questions along the way.
Ms. Rayfield, could you pause just for a second? Would you just, unless there's something outstanding about some of the fund shifts and those kinds of things, if the members want you to comment on that, that's fine. But I would like you to just stick to the GF.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Members object. If you go ahead.
There's very few items before you, Mr. Chairman. The first is the on line one of the spreadsheet is the Alaska Correctional Officers Bargaining Unit Agreement. The agreement was reached, so there is a component of that beginning in the fiscal year 2013 budget. You'll see the total request of GF is $1,244,000. You'll see in the FY14 amendments the FY14 dollar amount, but this is to implement the bargaining unit agreement that was reached in the current year. So this is for approximately 920 correctional officers. The second line has to do, it's a formula program under the Department of Health and Social Services for subsidized adoptions. This is a mandated change from the federal child welfare agency having to do with foster care participation rates. Federal funds are going down by $2.5 million, so the GF is picking up $2.5 million to be able to continue that program, and we also have that in the FY14 budget request before you. The last item that are GF related, although, Mr. Chairman, I would like to highlight two things. on lines 3 and 4, we're asking for carry forward of the current year redistricting appropriations. As you know, after we put forward our budget in December, there was a decision by the court to go back and reduce some of that work. So we're requesting carry forward of the existing remainder of that, those balances, and then we have a request in FY14. And then finally on operating, we have a request of $106,200 in general funds for a settlement related to the Cuspuck School District and a contaminated site cleanup for the Antioch Vocational School. The only other item I would just flag, because I think there's been a conversation about on the capital side, tsunami debris cleanup. The government of Japan provided $5 million to the United States. We anticipate approximately $1 million of that coming to Alaska. That number could change, but there will be a scope of work that Department of Environmental Conservation will prepare for that. So, and we're expecting to receive it this year, which is why you see it in the supplemental. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the quick version of the supplemental spreadsheet. We can shift then to the governor's amended summary.
There you go. Or were there any questions on the supplemental from the committee? Okay, go ahead, Karen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You also have on governor's amended request for fiscal year 2014, you'll see there's a one-page summary and then two spreadsheets, one 8 pages on operating amendments and one that's 3 pages on capital amendments. The total amended request is $16,179,700. This includes both operating and capital changes. Operating amendments actually are an overall reduction of almost $11 million and almost $3 million in unrestricted general fund, and we'll talk about the reasons for that. And then there's a few amendments, very minor, to the capital budget as well. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll try to highlight. Would you like me to stick with just general fund?
Committee, is that fine with you? Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, on page 1 of 8, and this is for Senate Bill 19 for the operating budget, if you look at line 4 of the spreadsheet, there is actually a technical correction for the Department of Commerce that we had inadvertently removed the same dollar amount twice.
Ms. Rayfield, my apologies. What line are you on?
I'm on line 4 of the operating amendment spreadsheet, page 1 of 8. So this is a correction to the budget. We didn't need to cut it twice. Then on line 5 is the fiscal year 14 amount for the Alaska Correctional Officers bargaining unit agreement that I just spoke about. What we have to do is build in into the base the 2% and then the additional 2% that they'll be receiving along with the full year costs for the geographic differential and their health insurance. So all of that's included in that number. On line 6 of the spreadsheet is a request for Mount Edgecombe High School, $305,000 for their dormitory management contract costs. There were several increased costs in for Mount Edgecombe this past year that we were working with the department on to see what their ability to absorb some of these costs would be. This one simply is above their ability to manage, so we have included it for your consideration for fiscal year 2014. The two items on line 7 and 8 we spoke about last week in the supplemental bill, they're for the Pioneers Homes. This has to do with the unrealized revenue, two pieces, the unrealized revenue that they have coupled with increased costs for their food services, laundry, and janitorial services. So they, again, were unable to absorb those within the existing Pioneers Home budget, and we requested them both in the supplemental and now in the amended budget.
Ms. Rayfield, could you pause for just a moment? Senator.
Thank you, through the chair. Just going back to the dormitory at Mount Edgecombe, is there a way by which we can get a breakdown of the cost per student for that dorm, the student cost for the dorm per student?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dunleavy, we can get that information for you. The department is here, and they can get that for you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Rayfield.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, continuing with general fund requests on on line 10 of the spreadsheet, You'll see a request for frontline social workers component. This has to do with the security upgrades in the Anchorage office building. We spoke about this briefly last week. There's a supplemental request of $490,000. These funds in FY14 will be continuing costs for their surveillance, security guard, and metal detectors, those things that they need to provide the security for not only the employees there, but also the families that they serve. On line 12 of the spreadsheet, you'll see an adjustment, and there's two pieces to this. It's a formula adjustment for foster care rates, and you'll see this in the foster care base rate component and also under subsidized adoptions. And this is based on the most current foster care rate study. There also is a component of this tied to a lawsuit or a settlement of a lawsuit having to do with rates. So you'll see a $2,110,000 increase in general funds requested under foster care base rate, and the same applies on line 14 for subsidized adoptions. It's $1,110,000. On line 13 of the spreadsheet is the item that I mentioned on the formula change for the Title IV-E calculation rate change. That $2.5 million of federal funds will no longer be available, so we're requesting $2.5 million in general funds to replace that. There's a transfer, Mr. Chairman, that's not general fund, but I just wanted to highlight for you. It's a structural change for work services, and there are a number of transactions that start on they start on line 15 and go all the way through to line 20. And basically what's happening is, in the past, the Department of Health and Social Services received the federal funds. They RSA'd them over to the Department of Labor. Labor managed the work services program. In this particular request, the structure would change so that the Department of Health and Social Services would retain the funding and operate the program. They believe this will result in overall efficiencies and reduce the overhead costs to manage the program. So you'll see the positions transferring over to HESS and the federal funds remaining in HESS, and just a decrement of interagency receipts in labor's budget. So it's a structure change, not general fund, but just so you know, that's what's going on with that.
Senator Bishop, could you kind of investigate that for us and just kind of let members of the committee know generally what your take on that would be?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a follow-up. I'm familiar with it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next general fund item is on line 22. It has to do with the Department of Public Safety. This is a class study for radio dispatchers that was completed in this current year. There are 34 positions that will be upgraded as a result, and they will go from radio dispatchers to emergency services dispatchers. It's $163,800 for these positions that were affected. Mr. Chairman, the next general fund item is on line 26. And this is for the redistricting board I spoke about earlier. So we are requesting, in addition to the reappropriate or the carry forward language in the supplemental, we're requesting $1,750,000 for the redistricting board. This would be a multi-year appropriation, so that depending on the level of work and how long it takes to actually complete that work, the funding would be available. Clearly, if it gets done sooner and with less cost, that money would come back to the Treasury. But we estimate that the total effort would be about $2 million, and then, of course, the carry forward for elections. So, on line 27, you'll see a decrement of $17.3 million for debt service, specifically to the general obligation bonds. The Department of Revenue updated their estimated debt service for those GO bonds based on the timing of when those bonds will be sold and the rates that they'll be getting. So that's a decrement that we can make. On line 28, I know I mentioned this on my first visit with the committee this year. The governor's intention is that we capitalize the SETS fund that was created last session, and there was $125 million in there. We had that on our spending plan and in our fiscal summary, but the actual transaction to make that occur was not in the bill. So this will amend it to actually be in the bill. And it was, the proposal here is to transfer $125 million from the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation fund into the SETS fund. So it's a fund transfer. And the last item, Mr. Chairman, on line 29 is an $800,000 decrement, and this is specific to the amount of the fund transfer for the response account and the oil and hazardous substance release prevention and response fund. We have an estimate in there of $1.9 million. The balance of $50 million has been reached, so we can bring that down $800,000. Mr. Chairman, those are the operating amendments, general fund.
Take just a real quick at ease here. Okay, we're back on the record. Ms. Rayfield?
Mr. Chairman, we can move to the capital amendment summary. It's a three-page spreadsheet for Senate Bill 18. Again, I'll just...
Ms. Rayfield, if you could direct your comments to Senator Meyer, and if members have questions or something like that.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, we went over some of these already, so this may be duplicative.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chair Meyer, I'll be very brief. The first item has to do with a Tununak K-12 school major maintenance project. This is one that's been just below where we've been able to fund the past couple of years. We're requesting your consideration of reappropriating funding that's in the school construction and major maintenance account and a little bit more general fund, we can get this project done. It's a little over $16 million. The reappropriation would cover all but $727,900 of funds for this particular project. So I'm hoping that you would consider that. There are several just scope and title change cleanup type of requests before you, Mr. Chairman. There are four new requests for federal receipts having to do with projects that went through a STIP amendment process that was not completed until after we presented our budget in December. And we also have included the actual grants under the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Grant Program. We typically bring those forward in the amended budget when that process is complete through the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. So there's a very modest change to the dollar amount, a $68,000 reduction, but we have the list of grants for you in the language section. And a couple of reappropriations that I mentioned earlier for the Tununak School. With that, Mr. Chairman, that's basically the amendments for the capital budget for your consideration.
Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, just thank you. The NPR issue on the back, there's a appears to be a reduction.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dunleavy, yes, that when we put forward a dollar amount in the December budget, it's an estimate of what we expect to be available. The Department of Commerce then works with the communities that are in the impacted area on the actual grant allocations. When they refine that process, then we also refine the number, the appropriation amount. So this matches their list of grants that were recommended for funding.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Ms. Rayfield. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, brief at ease. back on the record. Any questions or comments, or I guess we have questions. We already had time for that. Any comments on the, just a quick note on the calendar. Obviously, there are a lot of discussions that have to take place regarding the overall budget, both the capital and the operating on the next week or so. However, we're going to try to close out the subcommittees or have them all finished by March 20th so you can have your reports due to the committee. And in the past, I don't know, I haven't tracked it the last 10 years, but there was a time when the subcommittee chair would actually read their reports. I don't think that's necessary, but if you could turn those in by the 20th, we'll have somewhat of a formal presentation, in that we'll just recognize that we each have our subcommittee reports. And then over the next 10 days, we'll get through the amendments in the public hearing and have the bill out of here by the 30th for the operating budget anyway. If anyone has problems with that schedule, please let me know. That's where we're going at this point. Senator Meyer, you have the schedule for next week.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on Monday, we will continue our discussion on capital department overviews with the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and then also the Department of Administration. And then Tuesday, we'll finish the department overviews. A lot of these will go very quick. It may sound like a lot, but it shouldn't take. There's not much capital there. Court system, public safety, Department of Law, Corrections, and then the University of Alaska.
Okay.
And then Wednesday, I believe you want to have the administration talk about contract negotiations.
Yeah, just for the committee's information, we're going to have the administration here. They'll go through. It's going to be contract 101. On contracts in general, but also on the contracts that are before them that they're in the process of negotiating right now. So if you have questions, you might think about those. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I think they will even have the attorney that they've retained to answer some of the larger legal questions. So Wednesday's your day if you want to understand contracts.
Okay, and then Mr. Chairman, just to continue on with the rest of the week, Thursday, then we'll get back to hearing some bills. We'll have Senate Bill 7, which is the corporate income tax, and then Senate Bill 12, which I'm told is a darn good bill, public procurement. That's Senator Fairclough's. Darn good bill. And then Friday, we'll assuming we get those two done, we'll pick up some board extensions on Friday.
Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the contracts, I know one question that I'll have is what the CIP has been looking backwards compared to the contracts negotiations going forward. So it would be helpful to know what inflation is doing to people's paychecks and then how we're compensating that inside of negotiations.
One thing I've asked them to do as well is to explain what is shot through state government, regardless of the contracts? Just how do we incorporate step and merit and those kinds of things and what those costs are, whether you have a contract or not, just so we can get a kind of a base number of how government grows. And I know the agencies eat a lot of those costs, but we need to get a handle on that and at least understand it as we go forward. One other thing, there was a memo in your boxes, in everyone's boxes, about the subcommittees, and the essence of the memo was that, you know, in a 90-day session, there's a real problem as far as schedules and rooms for overviews. And for the record, there is no requirement that subcommittees are noticed or recorded or any of those kinds of things. We do it anyway, and we should. I don't have any grief with that at all. But for overviews, people should feel free to have those in their offices as long as no actions are taken. The directions of the budget are not discussed. And And furthermore, we have the ability to get any documents that an agency might present to a chairman online immediately. So if you're, and the subcommittees have been doing their work in a traditional committee form, but the memo is just to remind people that if you've got to have meetings and scheduling problems are tough, you can have those meetings. They don't have to be a formal hearing, but I would please ask you to contact my office so that we can get all documents online immediately. So that's that. Anything else to come forth, committee? Hearing no new business, we are adjourned.